It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the Bible study segment of our show, ladies. We are here now to get back into the book of Philippians, and it's sort of a two-parter on the Philippians verses that we learned about yesterday. This one is titled, Every Tongue Confess. You'll find the notes on our website. Welcome back to the table, Beth Seifert.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. I'm excited to dig back into this today.
Yesterday's was so powerful, and I know that there's so much more to say about these verses. Tell us again which verses we're studying.
Today we're going to be studying Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. We went in depth in verses 6 through 8 yesterday. So today we're going to I'm going to review that just a little bit, and then we're going to pick back up in verse 9 and keep going. So again, I'm going to read this out just so that you can hear it again and remember where we're at. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, yesterday, we talked in verse 6 about how Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be held on to at all costs, and how we will still try to claim equality with God, try to claim that we know better than God, but our Savior let it go to come to us. In verse 7, we talked about how Christ made himself nothing, taking the form of a human, a servant. Remember, we were made in the image of God. Jesus was born in being made in human likeness. He relied on God for everything through his power to accomplish the Father's will. He became like a human. We're all made to serve something, to be a servant of something. He served the Father, while we so often find ourselves serving just about anything except him. In verse 8, we talked about Jesus' obedience to God, even to the point of death on a cross, a cursed death, taking the debt that we owed and paying it for us. A reminder, that doesn't mean we are innocent, but it does tell us we are justified. So today we are going to start in verse 9. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Because of Jesus' obedience, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him that name. He was raised up. He was exalted and lifted up. He was glorified. He, who we as his accusers, because let's face it, if we'd been there when he was killed, we would have been among the throng calling for his death. We looked down on him. We put him on a cross and crucified him. And we denied him as having any part of God. And he is raised up. There's not a past tense there. He is raised up. He is alive. And his name is above every name. Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Even his name has power. Again, this is where those word of faithers can sometimes come in and say, well, if you just say it in Jesus' name, he'll give you whatever you want to. Doesn't work like that. His name is above every name, and every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The demons hear his name and they tremble. The very name of Jesus has power. And how often do we hear in our world today his name being used as a curse word? I flinch. I honestly have to force myself not to cringe when I'm around certain people who will use his name when somebody on their football team drops the ball. Really? That makes me sick. The name that causes demons to tremble, used without thought or care when your football team fumbles the ball? That's where we're at? Verse 11 says, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ultimately, folks, everyone will acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Even if you don't choose to follow him, one day, on the day of judgment, everyone will see him and acknowledge his power as Lord. That day will be a great day of rejoicing for believers, and it will be a day of great terror for anyone who has worshipped anything or anyone else. Every tongue will confess who Jesus is, that he's not just a prophet, he's not just a good teacher, he's not just a moral man. He is God. He was God in the flesh. He is our Savior. Our only hope of reaching heaven is through his grace. The atheists, the Muslims, the Buddhists, Taoists, all of them, one day, they will not be able to deny who Jesus really is. Their mouths will proclaim him even as they weep their choices. They will be confessing with despair. I will be confessing my Lord and Savior with joy. What will you be doing? Now, I'm not your judge, but the Bible tells us very clearly that there is only one way to God, and it is through salvation through Jesus. You can't have it both ways. You can't tread on the line and say all paths to God while claiming to believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, you know that there are not all paths to God. And if you believe the Bible, you also know that you aren't called to beat that knowledge into anyone else. God draws us to him. It is he who saves. We are called and we are told to share what we know to be true. We share the gift of the gospel, but it's not through my work that anyone is saved, not even myself. And what purpose? For what purpose has all of this happened? Has Christ come, become a servant, and then died on the cross, and then been raised up? For the glory of God the Father, for his glory, not ours. Ladies, if Jesus is God, and if we truly believe that, a lot of us have got to start getting a whole lot more optimistic about our lives. Seriously, if Jesus is God, and he is the one who came into your life telling you he loves you and will never forsake you, why are you so pessimistic about making new friends? Breaking bad habits? If you're still viewing the world as a pessimist, something is wrong with your thinking. Your mind is not like that of Christ, and you need to approach the throne of God and ask him, with faith that he is who he says he is, to fix that. I know that joy from him. I have that joy from him. I've even been called Pollyanna once when I was trying to help a sister in Christ have that joy. She meant it as an insult. I took it as a compliment. Remember, one day, whether we want to or not, we will all confess that Jesus is Lord. I'm practicing now. I'm confessing it today. I know there is power in that name that makes demons quake, that name that allows me to come before my God with praise and prayer and petition. That name, that man is so precious to me. And I plan to be rejoicing when the day comes when everyone will proclaim him as Lord. Will you?
Oh, that was awesome, Beth. And you know, that joy that we have, if people don't see that in the world, if they don't have a hope in Jesus Christ, how will they ever know him if we don't even have the joy to explain to them who God is? How can we be a good witness? You've brought up some very good points. Thank you so much.
Oh, my privilege.
I'm so glad that God is using people like you, Beth, people like those who are working tirelessly for his kingdom to accomplish his purpose. So thank you, ladies, for joining us in this segment. And you know, this one, if you're looking for the notes, Every Tongue Confess, what an appropriate lesson title for this one today. We're going to leave it here on the table, but we are going to unpack this a little bit when we come back.